greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
They're playing back.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Wednesday night when the Cleveland Cavaliers host the Toronto Raptors in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The best-of-seven series is tied at 2 games each. After losing the first 2 games in Cleveland, the Raptors rallied by winning the next 2 games in Toronto. In Game 4, the Raptors beat the Cavaliers 105-99, getting outstanding production from their all-star backcourt of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Lowry fired in a game-high 35 points, while DeRozan had 32 points. Superstar LeBron James had 29 points for the Cavaliers. At the post-game news conference in Toronto, LeBron gave kudos to Lowry and DeRozan, but he added he thought the Cavs would bounce back in Game 5 tonight.
You tip your hat to DeMar and Kyle. They did a great job. They're the all-stars for a reason, and that's why they're here today. They've carried this team all season, so, you know, but even at the end of the day, as well as they play, we still had a chance. You know, we still had a chance to win the ball game. And I don't watch sports TV. I don't read news clippings. And I am a confident guy. I'm always confident in my ability and what I can bring to my team, whatever the case may be, whatever the circumstances are. So, you know, going back home, we have to play a lot better, you know, and I think we will.
Meanwhile, in the NBA's Western Conference Finals, the Oklahoma City Thunder stormed past the Golden State Warriors Tuesday night, 118-94, to take a commanding 3-1 lead in that series. The defending champion Warriors now have to win 3 consecutive games to return to the NBA Finals. Game 5 is Thursday night in Oakland, California, where the Thunder can close things out and get back to the NBA Finals for the first time since 2012. Our VOA basketball fans will remember, in the 2012 NBA Finals, the Miami Heat, with LeBron James playing for them, beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 4-1, and LeBron was named Most Valuable Player of the Championship Series. But that was then, and this is now. The 2012 Oklahoma City Thunder was led by head coach Scott Brooks, who recently took over as head coach of my beloved Washington Wizards. The 2016 Oklahoma City Thunder are led by Billy Donovan, who guided the University of Florida Gators to U.S. collegiate titles in 2006 and 2007. Now Donovan has his sights set on winning his first NBA title as the head coach of Oklahoma City. He talks about the big win over the Warriors Tuesday night.
You know, a hard-fought game by both teams. You know, there were some runs that went back and forth in the first half, and I thought we closed the first half out very well. And, you know they're too good of a team. They're going to make a run. I was kind of really proud of the way the guys just kind of hung in there through some of it. You know, we had some ups and downs. We kept battling and fighting. I thought we defended as hard as we could for 48 minutes.
Coach Donovan also praised his 2 All-Stars, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant.
You know, Russell and Kevin in particular, you know, they're such terrific offensive players, but I think sometimes the thing that gets lost on both of them, in my opinion, is how unselfish they are. It's a joy for me to be around guys like that every day to see them share the ball the way they try to.
In Game 4, Westbrook turned in another excellent all-around performance, tallying 36 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists. For his part, Durant tallied 26 points and 11 rebounds. But there's more to the Thunder than just Westbrook and Durant. Serge Ibaka, the pride of Brazzaville, Republic of the Congo, contributed 17 points and 7 rebounds in Game 4. And swingman Andre Roberson, who plays both guard and small forward for the Thunder, also had 17 points, as well as a game-high 12 rebounds. Russell Westbrook had this to say about Andre Roberson.
A lot of guys chipped in tonight, not just myself. I thought Andre was a big key for us tonight, you know, just making plays and doing different things that doesn't come up in the stat sheets, but I just thought my energy was good tonight.
Oklahoma City's energy was especially good on the defensive end. Warriors coach Steve Kerr describes the Thunder as the longest team in the league and says his team continues to try to throw passes over their outstretched arms. And speaking of outstretched arms, Kevin Durant makes this defensive point.
Defensively, we did a good job of just keeping our hands up, trying to make them score over us. And so that's the name of the game for us. But, you know, we try to get, you know, we got to move a little faster on our offensive end next game if we want to have a chance to win.
Kevin Durant and the Oklahoma City Thunder can win the Western Conference Finals with a victory on Thursday night. Golden State will be hoping for a better shooting game from their two-time league most valuable player, Stephen Curry. Steph had 19 points Tuesday night, but he missed 14 of the 20 shots he took from the field, including 2 of 10 from three-point range, where Steph is known for his accuracy. So it's must win on Thursday night for Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, or else they'll officially be dethroned as the National Basketball Association champions.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always as thrill, yes, as thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Boxing news now on The Voice of America. The International Boxing Federation is holding its 33rd annual convention this week in Beijing, China. And one of the stars in Beijing is former world heavyweight champion Iron Mike Tyson, who has been speaking with reporters on a variety of subjects. There's a plan which still needs to be approved to have professional fighters feature at the Rio Olympics in August. Veteran boxing promoter Bob Arum and our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta, both have said it's a bad plan, a dangerous plan, and the amateur boxers could get hurt taking on the more experienced professional fighters. Mike Tyson also expresses scorn for the plan. Tyson, though, says the pros could in fact get beaten by the amateurs because Olympic amateur boxing has fewer rounds, is fast, and the professionals might not be used to the furious point scoring.
It's ridiculous, it's foolish, and some of the pro fighters are going to get beat by the amateurs. It's just going to happen. They're going to get beat. Some of them are going to get beat, I think. I really believe that. And if the fighters were like, if they're like the amateur fighters that I was fighting in the 80s, like Stevenson and those guys, and all those guys were fighting the Russians and the Cubans, those guys, they're going to beat some of the champions. It's going to happen. For 3 rounds, 4 rounds, these guys can't, some of the professional boxers are not going to be able to catch these guys. These guys will be fast for 3 or 4 rounds. These guys are not going to be accustomed to that.
Meanwhile, Mike Tyson was asked whether he has a favorite fighter, and he says he enjoys watching a British heavyweight champion.
Tyson Fury, I like to watch him because he has my name and stuff. So, other than that, no, I like Tyson Fury. Everybody said, he's a bum, but I like him. The fact that somebody would name their son after me and all the stuff that I've been through and all that ugly, nasty, I like him. I like Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury stunned the big Ukrainian Vladimir Klitschko last November to win the WBA, WBO, and IBF title belts. Fury has since relinquished the IBF title, which was then claimed by Britain's Anthony Joshua, the 2012 Olympic champion in the super heavyweight class. Tyson Fury and Vladimir Klitschko are scheduled to have a rematch on July 9th in Manchester, England. Mike Tyson says it's hard to predict who will win the Fury-Klitschko rematch.
Well, hey, listen, I don't know, but he's the only one to beat him out of 23 defenses. All those other guys are supposed to be tough guys and great fighters. They didn't beat him. He won. So what are you going to say? This guy's still a bum? He beat the greatest fighter in the last 15 years. You know, I don't know. You tell me.
Here's one thing I'll tell you, VOA boxing fans. Mike Tyson was speaking in Beijing, China, where he's attending the International Boxing Federation's 33rd convention this week. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Ida Keeling, who was recently named USA Track and Field's Athlete of the Week. Ida received the honor shortly after celebrating her 101st birthday. You heard me right, VOA sports fans. Ida is 101 years old. At the Penn Relays in Philadelphia, Ida clocked just over 1 minute and 17 seconds for 100 meters. Her time was the best ever recorded in the 100-meter dash for any female age 100 or older. And after crossing the finish line, Ida gave a few tips.
Well, love yourself, do what you have to do, not what you want to do. Eat good nutrition, not the chase. And exercise at least once a day.
In terms of exercise, Ida's daughter, Shelley, says her mother does more than just running.
A lot of her training is not just real, just the pounding on the track, but she has a mat. She does squats, push-ups.
She even did a few push-ups for the crowd of more than 44,000 at the Penn Relays, which cheered her accomplishment. Ida Keeling lives in New York City. Ida began her competitive running career at age 67 after her two sons died in suspected drug-related killings. Ida says she never knew pain so deep, and she began to fall apart. But with the help of her daughter, Shelley, a track and field coach, she started running. Run on, Ida Keeling. Meanwhile, University of Alabama sprinter Ahmed Ali is running towards his first Olympic appearance for Sudan. Last month, Ahmed set a new Sudanese national record in the 200 meters, clocking 20.16 seconds at the Florida relays here in the United States. I asked Ahmed what kind of reaction he got from his friends in Sudan.
A lot of love and calls, actually, regarding that and them actually telling me that that was the national record for Sudan and stuff like that. And it was a pleasing moment to hear all them fans calling me.
Did that surprise you, Ahmed, that it was a new Sudanese national record?
In some way, yes. In some way, not. Just me running that fast, it was surprisingly, but getting the national record, not really. But I was really just pleased with it.
Can you talk a little bit about your youth? Did you grow up in Sudan?
No. I grew up in Egypt, Cairo. I spent most of my life there, and then we moved to Houston, Texas, and that's where I grew up and went to middle school and high school down there in Ellis Hastings High School. Pretty much from there on, I attended South Plains College, and I spent 2 years there before attending the University of Alabama.
You were born in Sudan, though, is that correct?
Yes.
What area of Sudan?
Khartoum.
Talk about your experience, Ahmed, at the University of Alabama, not necessarily on the track. What are you studying at Alabama?
I'm a public health major, and I'm graduating next fall of 2016 with a Bachelor of Science. Of course, I got my dream actually to be a professional runner, but I have actually more goals beyond that. And with my degree, I'm more interested in working with the CDC down in Atlanta or in Houston, Texas. And I want to have the ability to impact the communities around me and have an impact on the youth around me as well. And I want to be, if I can see if I can be a coach in the future as well.
Would you maybe one day like to be a coach in athletics?
Yes.
What have your grades been like at Alabama? Do you have to keep a certain grade to remain on the track team?
Yes, you do. With the NCAA rules, you have to be have above, I believe, above a 2.5 GPA in order to stay eligible. But with my grades, I'm eligible. I believe I have a 2.9, I believe.
That's a good GPA.
Yeah, overall, but last semester I finished with a 3.0. So my GPA should get pushed up, and hopefully I graduate with 3.0, and that's the goal.
You say you maybe want to become a professional runner. That time at the Florida Relays, that's a great time, Ahmed.
With that time, it gave me a lot of confidence in myself and knowing where I stand and actually knowing that I can run that fast now and I guess able to maintain the level of my ability to run that fast week in and week out is what's really going to get me going. And with that time, like I said, I have a lot of confidence in myself now, and I'm hoping to actually do my best at the NCAA championship, which is coming up during June. And of course, with that time, if I have the ability to run that time again over and over, and I will have a nice chance of actually turning professional.
Well, Ahmed, thank you very much for talking with us on the Sunny Side of Sports, and I wish you the best of luck ahead of the Rio Olympics and at Alabama.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Ahmed Ali speaking with us by telephone from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Joining us once again on the VOA is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, this gentleman is trending. He's named Abiola Aborishade. Now, Abiola Aborishade was a wide receiver for the University of Massachusetts at Dartmouth for their football team, played college football. It's a Division III school. There are several different divisions within college sports. Division I is the top schools that you'll hear, Kentucky, Kansas, all those big schools, Texas, and then Division II, and then Division III. So University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth, not necessarily a top football school. So not getting a lot of attention from football scouts, even though he was a very talented player. Well, Abiola Aborishade for the past month has been standing outside of Gillette Stadium. That's where the New England Patriots play their football matches. And he has this sign, and I want to read some excerpts of this sign. He says, "Talented, hardworking athlete hoping for a chance to prove myself." It says, "Dream chasing, won't disappoint." And he has little descriptors about what he does. He says he's a receiver, slot and wide, and he's special teams. He's been standing out there for a month with this sign, and he's waiting for the New England Patriots to give him a chance to let him try out for the team. And this has captured social media attention. And the little note on his sign that says, "Let Abby spin," that has become a hashtag now that people are embracing. In fact, Malcolm Butler, who plays for the New England Patriots, he's a cornerback, he actually took a picture of Abby and put it up on his Facebook page, and he said, "This reminds me to always be thankful and never take your blessings for granted. On the other hand, this is the attitude you must have if you really want something. Hashtag never give up." So he's Abiola is getting a lot of attention. We'll see if this social media campaign maybe leads to him getting a chance to try out. By all accounts, he's a very good football player, but like we said, in Division III, you don't get a lot of attention. So we'll see if this...
Great story.
Yeah, we'll see if this pans out for him, but certainly it's capturing social media's attention. It's one of those feel-good stories. Certainly if he can get a tryout and maybe make the team, that would be a great feel-good story for him.
And Coach Bill Belichick, if you're tuning in tonight to the Sunny Side of Sports, yeah, let Abiola... Give him a tryout. Go ahead. Give him a tryout. Sounds like he might have some African heritage, Andrew.
Yeah, I was looking into that. I'm not sure what his family background is, but I do know that he went to high school in Attleboro, Massachusetts, which is just down the road from Gillette Stadium. So the New England Patriots are his team. I mean, he went to college in Massachusetts. Right. He grew up in Massachusetts. This is his team. So that's part of the dedication, too, that he really wants to be on his favorite team. So good luck to him, and we'll keep you posted, our listeners, as more information. If he gets a tryout and makes the team, we'll be the first to let you know.
And another Patriots story that has been trending recently, Andrew, it never seems to end, that Deflategate story involving Tom Brady and deflated footballs.
Yeah, that's, you know, and then the funny thing about it is that in the offseason for American football, there has been a lot of attention on that Deflategate story, but this is an opportunity maybe for the Patriots to have some goodwill on social media, they could really turn around the negative attention and say, okay, we're going to give him a tryout, we're going to let him do this, and that could really, you know, help them as from a public relations standpoint.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, I have a tweet here from Ben Rothenberg, and I know Ben, met him a few times. He's a tennis writer for the New York Times, and he has just the two biggest fines thus far for the French Open. In round one, Andy Murray docked $3,000 for an audible obscenity, and then he tweets a $1,500 fine for Victoria Azarenka for racket abuse. Now, Victoria Azarenka, that racket abuse, because she was playing her match, she ended up hurting her knee and had to withdraw. She's the number six player in the world, had to step away from the tournament. She's on her way to making a comeback, but she had to step aside, so that's why she got that racket abuse fine. Andy Murray is fined $3,000 for an audible obscenity because for the second match in a row at the French Open, he's had to win in five sets. You know, the first round match, he was down two sets to love, had to come back and win the last three. In the second round match, down two sets to one, and came back and won it in five. So Andy Murray is getting a lot of attention on social media for battling back-to-back matches, going five sets, going the distance. There's a lot of questions, though, whether he can keep up this pace. If he has to play every match as a five-setter when some of these other players are just cruising through in three sets.
Could take some of the gas away from him.
Especially, yeah, because he's played some of these warm-up tournaments, and he won a couple of the warm-up tournaments on the clay. So people are saying, well, can he keep this momentum up? But, as you know, a lot of attention on him on social media, on his audible obscenities, which we can't repeat on air, of course. But, you know, questions about whether he'll keep it up. But one of the, you know, the stories of the French Open so far in the early stages is... Is Andy Murray, could he still contend for the title?
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much.
And hashtag let Abby spin. Let Abby spin.
Absolutely.
I love it. And that wraps up the May 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
A healthy life is a gift and benefits not only individuals who are blessed with good health, but also their families and communities. Healthy individuals make up a stronger, more resilient workforce and are more likely to raise healthy children that become healthy adults, continuing the cycle. One of the easiest and most efficient ways to ensure good health is immunization of all children against the most common and most debilitating diseases, such as measles, pertussis, diphtheria, tetanus, and polio, to name a few. We know that immunization works. Since 1990, child mortality has dropped by half, and much of that is due to increased rates of immunization. Each year, immunization averts some 2 to 3 million deaths. Nonetheless, because one in every five children globally misses out on routine vaccinations, about 1.5 million people die needlessly of preventable diseases. As part of the Global Vaccine Alliance, or Gavi, the United States supports global efforts for accelerated introductions of new and life-saving vaccines in the world's poorest countries and supports efforts to strengthen national immunization systems, increase immunization coverage, and reduce equity gaps for children living in these poor countries. Through the investment in Gavi, the U.S. government is helping countries to end child deaths from the most common killer diseases, such as pneumonia, diarrhea, and meningitis. Gavi was founded with the objective of making affordable, life-saving vaccines available to countries that otherwise could not pay for them. But as countries' economies grow, long-term support must come from the countries themselves, said USAID's Deputy for Child and Maternal Survival Coordinator, Elizabeth Fox. Each and every year, 130 million newborns need to be immunized, or we risk losing the gains that we have made. We must also ensure that the world's 650 million children under age 5 have received their full course of recommended vaccines. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure, especially when it comes to a child's health. That is why immunization is a crucial part of any strong health system. As part of the Gavi partnership, the United States is committed to saving lives by helping to ensure that no child is left unprotected from disease.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. cheers. Clink, clink.
Yeah. Now there is a youth culture that is being progressed by the youth globally.
I feel like the problem is that once the funds are sent to these developing countries, it sometimes gets in the wrong hands, and then it's the actual people that are supposed to be benefiting from these funds really never even get to see.
What does this mean for your local culture? Is it being threatened? Should your parents be worried? Let's talk. This is Upfront of the Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical journey. I guarantee it.